Welcome to the Do Life Different podcast by 1128 Community. Today, you're listening to our most recent message. We are a church community in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, led by co-pastors Mike and Colleen Francisco. 1128 is about helping people do life different by setting rhythms and values with Jesus at the center. If you want to connect with us, text the word podcast to 414-441-1128. We hope today's message helps you in your faith journey.
Well, hey, church, as you have a seat this morning, let me again just say welcome to 1128 Community. My name is Mike.
And I'm Colleen.
And we are so glad to be here with you this morning. I just want to get a feel for the room, though, okay? I think I know how this is going to go, but, like, where are my adults at? Just give me a little shout-out, adults. Okay. Where's, like, the middle and high school kids at? Okay.
Okay, thanks.
What about our elementary students? Are they in here today? Wow. What are the elementary students? Well, they're in here, right?
Yeah, they are.
Are you here, elementary kids?
I think they don't.
Okay, we hear them now.
I think they didn't know they could scream in church.
Oh, yeah, you can scream in church. Let's try it again. Elementary kids, are you here? Okay, good. We are really excited to have our elementary students in the gathering with us this morning. This week is a special week. It's Serve Sunday. And so right after the gathering, we invite you to head out to the cafeteria, and we've got three options, like Natalia mentioned, where you can serve as a family and just put together a little basket that helps a homeless individual or a teacher, gives them encouragement in the area, and that's going to be really special.
It is, and this will be a little bit shorter so that we have time for that as, like, part of our normal morning.
Oh, yeah, so we're going to have to shorten this.
Yeah, cut stuff right
now.
Yeah,
okay. Well, hey, our two kids are in the space with us this morning, and they're excited to be here. And I don't know if you know this about them, but...
Both of them love to read.
Any other kids love to read?
Oh, I see a couple hands.
Couple hands.
I see one in the back, too. But JJ and Julia, those are our kids. They love to read. Now, here's something about Julia. She loves being read, too. And so for a very long time, she didn't want to, like, show us that she could do it on her own because she wanted us to keep reading with her. But now...
Yeah, we knew she could.
Oh, yeah. And now one of our favorite things, like mine and Julia's, is to read the Elephant and Piggy books. So if you have never seen them, go check them out because they're awesome. And then JJ started reading at a very, very early age and really hasn't stopped since.
And JJ loves to learn. Like, he reads things not to be entertained, not to, like, get a good laugh, although he does do that from time to time. He wants to learn and gain knowledge. And so a couple weeks ago, I noticed he's been bringing home these really big encyclopedias. And I was like, JJ, that's got to be hard on your back, man. Like, maybe find some different books to bring home with you. And so he started bringing home different books, and he ended up bringing home, like, I Survived books. Anybody here like the I Survived books? Yeah, JJ loves these books. I asked him if I could borrow one to show you all this morning, and he's like, well, which of this one version, there's two versions of the same book, do you want, right? And this is actually his favorite book, The I Survived the Sinking of the Titanic in 1912. He's got the graphic novel, and then I assume just like the original one. There's a picture of it. And this book, I would say, he's probably read, what, like, 5-6 times?
Maybe even 10.
Yeah, like when we can't find JJ, he's probably reading a book like that. And here's the things that we've learned just from him reading about the Titanic and what it would have been like to survive. We learned that the Titanic was 882 feet and 9 inches long. Did anybody else know that? All right. That's very memorable. So now you got it, and you can share that with all your friends tomorrow when you go back to school or work or just, you know, walking around the neighborhood. It weighed 900 tons. I mean, that's a big boat. And here's the most interesting thing. It had approximately 10,000 light bulbs on board. 10,000 light bulbs. That is, like, you're going to win a lot of trivia.
Yeah, that's the most random fact.
Know that, all right? And this boat, the Titanic, it was thought to be unsinkable until, of course, its first trip and it sank, right? Like, we know what happened here, and we're not totally sure, but reports from the people that survived the sinking of the Titanic, they believe that the iceberg that it ran into, that sank the boat. It was about 50 to 100 feet tall. Now, to give you some perspective, the Titanic from like bottom to top, that was about 175 feet. And so this iceberg, they estimate, based on the reports, to be 50 to 100 foot tall. They estimated, again, that it could have been up to 400 feet long. And remember, the Titanic is 882 feet, 9 inches long. So it was like a little less than half the size of this boat that they could see. And that's a big iceberg. And did you know that icebergs, there's actually more of them that are beneath the surface? 90% of an iceberg is actually below the surface of the water. 90% of a giant iceberg isn't even visible to you and I.
And I think that's a lot like our feelings. Like, most of our real feelings are not visible. In fact, a lot of times we try to hide how we're really feeling. And if you're like me at all, you really wish that your face wouldn't give away what you're feeling. But I think about like what others do and maybe how I feel after. I think about that time that like a friend or a brother or sister like takes away a toy or something that you're using, the classmate that always has to be the best, and just how you feel after that, the one who does nothing at work, and so then you have to pick up all the slack, the coach that doesn't appreciate you or put you in the game, that friend that leaves you behind for somebody else. We probably don't always show our feelings, but deep inside, kind of like this iceberg, below the surface, we're hurting, or we're annoyed, or we're angry, or we're frustrated, and maybe that even starts to turn into bitterness.
And here's the lesson for us today in this abbreviated time together. It's that you can't control what people do. You can't. You can't control what people do, but you can control how you respond. You can control how you respond when people act away. You can respond like Jesus, or you can start to respond out of bitterness and hurt and frustration and anger and all those other things that Colleen mentioned. Here's the thing. In the book of Ephesians, Paul writes this letter to the church there, his friends in Ephesus, and he wants to be encouraging to them. He's like, hey, you guys, you know Jesus. You've been changed by Jesus. So start to live like it. Take off like the old habits that you had and put on these new habits. Like, be changed, be transformed by Jesus. He wants to be encouraging to them. He wants something better for them. And in chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul actually says this. He says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. And like, you know, like anger, if it's in there, it can really change who you are. If you've ever been angry before, like I have, like, you know, like, you do things and you say things that you regret and you wish that you didn't do or say. Like, anger, it can control you. And so Paul says, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Like, that's just a great rule to live by. And who has heard that before? Did you know that was in the Bible? Like, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. That's just a great rule, and we should all aim and strive to practice that. Paul continues a few verses later, do not bring sorrow. In the NIV, he says, don't cause great distress to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own. And other versions say, like, he's put a seal on you. He's marked you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. You have been identified as God's. You have been identified as with God. You have been identified as a person of importance to God, a person that knows God, and God knows them as well. You have been marked and sealed, and you will be saved. So he's saying, like, come on, live like it.
And Paul continues, and Paul writes, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Paul's saying, like, don't let those things just sit under the surface, but get rid of them. And I want to recognize that, like, some of these examples that we're using today are more lighthearted. And sometimes emotions take, like, more healing and work to heal. And so I'm not trying to make light of, like, deep emotions today. But even still, Paul's saying, like, get rid of those things. Like, go to Jesus with them. So, like, when your friend or your sibling takes something from you, don't let that frustration sit there. When your classmate says something rude, don't let that anger, like, build beneath the surface. When your coworker leaves all the work for you again, like, don't let that become rage. Don't let that anger become rage. When your coach doesn't appreciate you, don't let that annoyance build in your head. Don't become bitter. Don't hate that person. When a friend leaves you behind for someone different and you're feeling just so lonely and left out, don't think all the bad things about them, but instead get rid of these things. Don't let them grow beneath the surface. Get rid of it.
And Paul says, well, here's what I want you to do instead. When you feel these things, instead of responding in the ways that maybe come most naturally, be kind to each other. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Imitate God in everything you do because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. The NIV puts verse 32 this way. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Are you hearing this kind of over and over and over? Like, be kind and compassionate. It reminds me of the words that Paul wrote in a different book. In the book of Romans, Paul says, don't be overcome by evil. Like, don't let those things, that bitterness and that anger and that frustration, don't let that overcome you. Don't be controlled by those things. Don't let it be rooted within you. But overcome evil with good. Be kind and compassionate. You can't control what someone else does, but you can control how you respond.
Yeah, sorry. And I know you might be thinking, like, I am kind, or I try to be really kind, or I am compassionate. I do look out for others, and you might be. And you might be able to do that on the outside. But really, if you're honest, you might not be saying everything you're thinking. You might hold on to a lot internally. You might have an iceberg of bitterness that's just growing on the inside. And again, we kind of said this, but it's not that feelings and emotions are bad. No, those are not bad. Like, we're all going to have them. We're all going to feel things. It's when we allow those to stay there and turn into that deep bitterness or almost like that hatred. And if I say that word at home, like if I say I hate something at home, my kids will correct me, which I'm sure they would agree to right now. But it's like that. We let that grow within us. And when we do that, we've strayed from the path that God wants for us. By keeping it all in, we're not actually overcoming evil with good. By keeping it on the inside, we're only holding on to that, like, evil and that bitterness. And really, we're only hurting ourselves. So what do you do instead? Well, we can look to the book of Luke and we can see something that Jesus tells us. Jesus says, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. We've said it already this morning, but you really can't control what somebody else does, but you can control how you respond. And your response, my response, should be compassion, forgiveness, and one of the biggest ones is by praying for them.
And I love what Craig Groeschel said a few years ago. He said, your prayer for others, it may or may not change them. It may or may not change them, but it will always change you. Prayer will always change me. In the Bible, it affirms this over and over. Prayer changes us. It changes me. It changes you. It changes our hearts. It changes our attitudes, our thoughts. And eventually, it leads to our changed actions. Prayer, it plants seeds of change deep within us. It plants these seeds of love, seeds of compassion, seeds of kindness. Prayer is where we become the person who responds better in hard times. And when we think about seeds, when we think about plants and planting those things like deep within us, they're actually similar to icebergs. 75% of plants are actually under the ground. They're unseen. They're below the surface. There's a root system that leads to this plant that we do see. When we think about an iceberg, we think about something that's hazardous, something that could sink a ship, something that we don't want to get too close to. But when we think about plants, when we think about flowers, we think about fruit, we think about vegetables, we think about beauty. When we think about what people see us as, what we put off on the outside, it's really determined by what's growing on our inside. And so this morning, I just want to ask you this question. Are you growing an iceberg of bitterness inside? Have you allowed those frustrations, those annoyances, those little comments to build up and to start becoming ice on your heart? Causing you to respond in anger in ways that you can't control, ways that you regret, things that you wish you hadn't said? Or are you growing a plant of compassion? Has a seed been planted that you would become loving, compassionate, and kind and reflect the person of Jesus? I don't think any of us want to have an iceberg growing within us this morning. I think we all want to have a seed of love, compassion, and kindness that's taking root so that it grows into something beautiful. This morning, I want us to start growing compassion plants. I want us to be done with icebergs. I want us to start praying prayers that plant real seeds of love and kindness and compassion deep within us. Seeds that take root in our hearts. Seeds that begin to produce something beautiful. Because the reality is our friends need us to be people of love, compassion, and kindness. They don't need more rude, angry people in the world. They need people that are kind, compassionate, and loving, because that's Jesus, and that's what the world needs. And we could all reflect Jesus better by praying prayers that plant seeds of compassion, love, and kindness within us.
As we wrap up this morning, let's ask God to melt away those icebergs so that the new seed of compassion would take root and grow strong. Would you pray with us? God, we thank you that you're a God that was down on earth as Jesus, and that you understand what it's like to have emotions and feelings and hurts. God, you were human, and so you understand, and we recognize that, and we just say thank you. Thank you for understanding that part of our humanness. God, help us, whether it's small things or really, really big things. God, we recognize that nothing is too big for you. Nothing. And just like that song says, like, we believe in this space today that you will make a way, even if it feels really hard. And so help us be a people of prayer, a people that come to you, a people that ask for healing and ask to be filled and overflowing with compassion and kindness and the ability to forgive and the ability to breathe out that anger and bitterness. God, no matter the reason that we have it inside of us, we trust you with it. And so this week, help us. Help us be people that come to you. God, thank you for what you can do and how you can truly make us new. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope you had a meaningful moment with Jesus. You can join us on Sundays at Oak Creek High School at 10 a.m. for our in-person gatherings. Hope to see you soon.